right. Thank you so much for bringing this show live over the internet, BBS Radio, the family Newsom. Thank you, brothers. Today it is March 16, 2020. Another 1 hour with Winfrey live on BBS. A Monday evening wild card. I believe if plans go through, we have a discussion, an interview with our dear friend Lauren from Washington. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. I just heard another ding. I welcome that person. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hello. Hi, this is Debbie from California.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, everybody. Hey, guys.
All right. And right after this one-hour show, we go over to a different conference call to our daily whole planet healing, what shall I call it, meditation, where we get together, we mingle, and Wynn usually reads an excerpt from the channeled materials, a short excerpt, or he plays a little recording, where after we put worldly issues into the love light. Actually, Wynn is in charge of doing that. And then we have a group energy to support those points that he brings forth. 7 days a week at 7 p.m. Pacific time, you can find the phone number for the conference call at wholeplanethealing.com. And I will also say it here now. The phone number is 712-770-4340. The access code is 250-513-pound. Whole Planet Healing, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. These days, Pacific Daylight Saving Time, I guess you call it. All right. And we wait for a win. Winfrey, he's located in Sedona, Arizona, to present himself here briefly. Terry Brown is usually also present during the Monday evening call, although there will not be a live channeling, as far as I know. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, hi. This is Lauren from Forks, Washington.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome.
Hi, Lauren.
Howdy.
Well, thank you for being here. Okay, I see you're a moderator. Yeah, good. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don.
Hi, Don.
Welcome.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Yetta. Hi, Lauren. Hi, anybody else I couldn't recognize? Hey, Lauren, would a spinning gyroscope weigh less than a non-spinning gyroscope if you put it on a scale?
It should weigh the same.
Yeah, I think so. I saw a video that you can, like, lift it easier, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I had, like, at the end of a pole. Of course, it could have been a trick. Who knows? And he was, like, lifting up this heavy gyroscope. So
We had another person join in. Good evening. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi. It's Jennifer from Greensburg. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Jennifer. Welcome.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Daddy.
Hey.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, and everyone. Shirley from Ohio.
Good evening, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
That was an interesting question. Are you planning to do with something with gyroscopes or just one?
No, it's just interesting, though.
Someone else joined in. Good evening. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Hi. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Welcome.
Hey. Hi. Thank you.
Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Hello.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hello, it's Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. Welcome.
I win.
Wait, I forgot to tell you my location.
Doesn't matter. Earth.
Never mind. Who is Annie Newsom?
That's got to be BBS.
Oh, could it be? Okay. Mm-hmm. And is Terry on the line? No, I don't think she is.
She's not.
Oh, I got to bring her back. I got a reminder. Daylight savings time is on.
For 6 more months.
Yeah. You'll be just used to it for 6 months and then...
they take it away again.
Yeah, it is. Supposedly... You know, supposedly, gyroscopes can give you like anti-gravity effects. But I really don't know anything about it. Sorry, Wayne, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all done.
A two-axis gyroscope can give you an impression of that.
Impression of, but false impression.
Well. You're keeping the vertical axis held in place in a linear vector, and the
welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
John from Las Vegas.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Now, don't they also do that like with the astronauts practicing?
I had a hard time getting in. Did anyone else have the same problem?
No.
No?
I had a bit, but I rebooted.
All circuits are busy. I had tried for 5 or 10 minutes at least.
Yeah, I did the backup number. It went right in then.
I got
the other
time.
Number I couldn't get through, yeah.
First time I got right in.
Well, if anyone's having trouble getting through, let's give them the backup number.
Well, if they can't get through, they...
Just send an email.
Give them the backup number.
Send an email.
Hang on. Right now, I got to call Terry's phone so she can find it. Okay? So, just one moment, please.
So, John, you don't have the backup number?
No, just send it out in an email. That's why I requested.
So, Lauren, if you put one of those double gyroscopes on, if you put it on the scale to weigh it, would it still weigh the same?
It's along the same axis.
Two more people joined in. Good evening. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Janine. Welcome.
Hi, Janine.
Hi, everybody.
And the other person, we welcome you. Feel free to say your name or location. But only if you want to, of course. He's welcome you.
The gyroscope is
We're never going to get through this. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Good evening. It's Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
And the next person.
Hi, Wanda.
Please say your name and location.
This is Juliet from Okemos, Michigan.
Hi, Juliet. Welcome.
Hi, Juliet.
Hi, Juliet.
Hello.
And the next person, welcome, please name a location. If you want to, we welcome you.
This is Lynn, I'm back.
Woohoo.
Well, hi, back.
Hi, Lynn.
And I hear Terry checking in the background.
Two more people are in. Good evening. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Mary Eileen in Cincinnati. Hello.
Welcome to you, Mary Eileen.
Hi, Mary Eileen.
Hi, Mary Eileen.
Hi.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Welcome.
Hi, Terry. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Terry.
Well, I sent my email out at 5:06 for a change.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Right.
But only if you want to, we welcome. All right. And for those that are listening in through BBS Radio, we welcome you. Thank you for being here.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Get relaxed.
Hold on.
I think we're ready to start.
All right.
Do you know this? By the way, did you guys notice something different in the call last night? The whole Planet Healing call? I'll tell you what, I'm going to record this.
All right.
Yeah, my mother was here.
Yeah. Can I mute the lines, Vinny, or keep them open? Open.
Muted.
Leave them open for just a moment.
All right.
Unmuted. The recording has started.
All right. So today it is March 16th, 2020, and we have a wild card evening on Monday at Winfrey in Sedona, Arizona, and a special guest, one of our family members, Lauren. Thank you both for being here. Bend the mic to you.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now.
I think I hear Terry on the line. We hear a lot of background noise.
But now okay. We have the lines open. All the lines are open.
Well, the lines are open. Yes. Well, I just wanted to ask a quick question. Did you guys notice something different about the energy yesterday on Whole Planet Healing?
Yeah, my mother was on that line.
Okay.
I transed out.
You phased out?
Yeah, I tried not to, and I couldn't help it. And then when I came back, Was there? Did you play a recording?
No. I did a live one.
No, I heard you live, but then it sounded like I had awakened to a recording then. It was really odd. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If any of you wonder what we're talking about, is it happened to be listening in every night at 7, we do a planetary healing session. And there's energies that come onto the call. And you have to be there to experience it. Now, every night is not equally as good as every other, because
sometimes I'm tired, and I'm not as good a, what's the word, an intermediary to bring the energies in. But I thought last night was very interesting. Maybe nobody else noticed it, okay? But in any case, let's mute everybody.
I noticed it, but I noticed also that, like, I...
Muted.
And then after I fell asleep, I woke up and there was some really odd recording playing. I couldn't make sense of it. So I hung up.
Okay. Well, let's move on from that, because we have Lauren Zanier on the line. Lauren, let's see if we hear you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And, you know, I sent an email out about this call, and I was going to send it out earlier, and I still ended up sending it out 5-10 minutes before the call. You know, that's my little idiosyncrasy. And I don't know if you guys understand why I do that. It's probably a good habit to overcome. But once I send the email out, I'm in the energy of it. And I'm still in the energy of it because it's still going to happen. But it's different. I anchored it and grounded it. And then I have to be somewhat anxious about it until it happens, until it gets done. And when I send the email out before the call, the time period of that is just shortened, like 10 minutes, not 5 hours. Now, I know that's really bad because when we have an important call, I should send it out hours before, because otherwise people miss it. In fact, sometimes days before. This is a special call, and if you saw the headline of our call, the subject line on the email, it said, "The man who taught Emoto, the Japanese guy, about water, will be my guest." Now, probably you heard of Emoto. He wrote a number of books. I think one of them was called The Healing Power of Water. And there's a lot of special things about water that are not recognized by science. And I didn't know that Lauren did this. He doesn't even talk about it. He's very reserved about talking about himself and his accomplishments. And I understand that because he's a very humble guy. He's dedicated to spirit. And who wants to be held to the things you did in the past, even past lifetimes? This is its own life and its own creation. But when you're want people to listen to you, want people to come on the call, you have to tell them something that provokes them. It says, this might be interesting. Let me check it out. And so that's why I did it. I got Lauren's permission to do it. Those of you who are regulars on our call, I know have all gotten to know Lauren and hear him. And he can speak over our heads very easily, my head as well. But he doesn't usually speak over the Elohim's head. They like it when he's on the call because they can go deeper and he will understand them. And then he can bring the energy of the whole call up for that reason. And I know he started out checking out our calls like everyone else. And I tell people that you can't make a snap decision about this. About what we do, because it's so deep that you can't even believe it the first time you hear it. Even me couldn't believe it. And so, Lauren, how long were you coming into our calls before it started to resonate with you?
It was the first call.
First call?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty fast. Well, I'll tell you what.
You're connected, you know, they're going, okay. And I'd already seen the change that had taken place with Abby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Abby Bright. And the and I was going, what do you attribute this to? And she told me, and then so I got on the call, and yeah, it's definitely connected there, and I could pick up the presence and the energy both, and the and just stayed in from there on out.
Well, you're very open to energies. I know you feel energies fast.
Yeah,
and you don't filter things through your mind very much, as other people might. Well, since my subject line was the man who taught Emoto about water, which is an awesome thing because he went on to become famous and wrote a number of books. Did he write a book called The Healing Power of Water?
I believe so, yeah.
That was one of his books and others. And then you designed a product for a Japanese company that is being sold all over the place. And how did you get to Japan? Did you do any big accomplishments in this country?
Yes, but things I can't really talk about because they're, you know, of the non-disclosure agreements. You know,
right.
Consultant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can get a consultant. And oftentimes I get, after the people, you know, that would normally fix something, you know, troubleshoot it, they can't fix it, then they call in the factory reps, and if they can't fix it, they call in the factory design engineers, and if they can't fix it, they call me in. But I work for a strictly private contract, I wouldn't work for corporations or government.
How did you get a reputation in Japan?
It started off with Lee Lorenzen, which is Emoto's partner in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And he had approached an associate of mine and about water with some unusual properties. and that was Rod Quinn. Rod Quinn was an apprentice of mine. And they and he brought Lee into the picture, and Lee brought Emoto into the picture, and developed a contract with them for an instrument for pain management, you know, redesigning an instrument for pain management and for structured water formulas. And filling them
Emoto was a product developer at the time, yes?
He was a product developer, yes.
Yeah. And he wasn't a writer, he wasn't a public figure, he was developing products. And
yes.
Did he know a lot about water? Did he know a lot about water? No.
Zilch. You drink it.
Okay. And you had introduced them to some of the magical properties of water. And did he go on and do his own research? Were his books basically about what you taught him?
Pretty much what I taught him. And because we had actually part of the contract was to get the this new up and budding technology known to the public and the scientific community. So I was invited over there to a number of seminars presented to the public at large and scientists and engineers in Japan. I've been doing a similar thing here in the United States. So as a consequence, it's become a kind of like a buzzword, you know, structure water.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've heard the word structured water. Let me just say something before we go into talking about structured water. Lauren is got a whole side to him, which is connected to, we could call it angelic realms. Can I say that? Is that a fair description?
Yeah, they're including that, yeah.
Yeah. And he gets intuitive guidance from the other side. When you ask, and in your scientific work, okay? So he's an amazing combination of metaphysician and physicist, okay? And this is the first of what I think will probably do some future calls, because he has got a wealth of knowledge. He listens to our channelings, and even when they're deep, even when they go beyond what I can barely understand, he understands it. And he's developed a rapport with Terry, and they talk to each other all the time, with my blessing. And it's a really great connection. When he's on the calls, he's one of the people, and there's more than one, but he happens to be exceptional at helping to hold the energy of the higher realms on the calls and increases the vibration of the calls. That's the only way I can say it. And I would say everyone on the call, especially the ones that keep coming, are part of doing that as well. And Lauren helps to lift the energies even higher, okay? So he's a great benefit to our work, and he's a great friend. You know, if you become his friend, he's one of those people that would do anything for a friend, almost. And I know that. I've watched how he deals with people who he connects with. And so it's very interesting to talk about his angelic connections, but I think we'll do that on another call. I want to talk about his, for the moment, structured water a little bit. Not for the whole call. But I know that my first introduction to structured water was when I was doing a talk at some kind of event here in Sedona. And another guy that was on the same program was a guy by the name of Clay. Can't even remember his last name. Clay something. And he was selling structured water devices, and he had these metal things, metal tubes, maybe about 6 inches long, that were flattened kind of in a hexagonal shape on either end. And somehow, when you ran your water through that tube, it came out different. And Is that a general idea of how structured water is created?
Really oversimplified. actually, the whole thing started off when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I developed this theory called resonant field theory. And it's a phenomenon, experiential phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the science, the mathematics of science, et cetera, behind the subject of experiential phenomena in any innate mm-hmm. dimension and density. And it was an outcropping of stuff that I picked up where I last left off last lifetime,
mm-hmm.
and which we won't go into. And there was this aspect of the most abundant chemical compound in the material universe is water in different mm-hmm. phases and forms and such. Okay.
And, you mean like steam, ice, and water?
Yeah, and plasma.
Vapor.
Mm-hmm. Plasma, that vapor. There is the phases between gaseous and liquid phase. There's a phase between liquid and solid phase. There's a phase between solid phase or a gaseous phase and plasma. Plasma phase, and then there's a phase between that and pure energy matrix, and so there's a number of phases, okay,
mm-hmm.
and it happens that, like I mentioned, the most abundant chemical compound in the physical universe is water, followed by methane, but anyway, and the thing about water is it's vital to every living organism of any nature, whether it be carbon-based, like here on this planet, sulfur-based, silica-based, you name it. It's a common denominator. It's an active ingredient, not a passive ingredient, although that is true too. But it's an active ingredient in all biological processes,
mm-hmm.
omitting none. And the so it takes an active role. So I go, whoa, and this is very interesting these transient processes that take place and structural dynamics that take place with water when it's doing this functioning in biological processes and non-biological processes too. What's that nature? And let's take a closer look at it, because where I first started off was using water to be able to break it down into a different plasma states. And I was about 6 and a half at the time, and I was writing my first paper. And you take 6 cubic miles of ocean water and break it down to a plasma phase, a liquid solid transition between liquid and solid phase of plasma. Compress it down into 1 cubic yard,
mm-hmm.
and use it as a propulsion system. You know, like space opera stuff. You know, beam me up, Spock, and all that, Scotty. And so I was looking at it from that, starting off from that aspect of it, and how to generate pure energy from that, and we're dealing with resonances to be able to do that. Magnetic, electric, photon, and mechanical, you know, sound type resonances to be able to accomplish that. And when you do so, forms a transient structure that changes into another structure, changes into another structure, and so on and so forth. And it's like, all right. That's what got me into structured water initially. That was about 6.5 years old.
And they, 6.5 years old. Now, yeah. Did your parents say, oh my God, our kid is a prodigy?
They took it in stride. I was very unusual. I knew I was talented. And of course, they were talented too in their own right. But I must say here, you know, you're talking about the when you're in communication with the Elohim, for instance. I've done my homework, so I understand what they're saying because I have the same understanding. It's not different; it's the same understanding. I get different I get different perspectives of it from an outside source, which is good, you know, which is real good for me, and it's good for, you know, sharing it with others. But what I was going to say was that when I was a youngster before that, we moved down to South America as soon as my mother could travel after I was born, about 4 months old, and we're down in, you know, the equatorial jungles of South America. You know, headhunting Char-Char was literally our backyard. Out in the jungles, you know, Tarzan type stuff, and but for real. And at any rate, the father had been invited down to install communications equipment and radar in an exploratory oil well, where they found oil in South America initially. But at any rate, so the natives there took me into the jungles and introduced me to mother directly. So,
when you say mother, you mean Mother Earth, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That was the earlier Mother Earth. Here's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new one. That's about 2009. She's one L being, and they. At any rate, but I got introduced to mother directly. So I don't, from that point on, the perception was there. It was like intimate between science, art, music, dance, all together with mother. So I bring all those things to the table because I see it from that viewpoint. I experience it from that viewpoint.
I sense that whenever we talk, that you're not just quoting book learning. You can actually tune into all of this stuff.
I prefer going direct. I don't like secondhand information or experience it has its value.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to know what the
are we losing you? Uh-oh. We need some resonant field theory here to get the phone working again. You know, I was going to mention that when I was a kid, I wasn't 6 years old. I was probably 10 years old. Lauren, are you there? I hope he's not talking and thinking we're listening.
Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Should I call him?
Can you maybe text him that he will notice?
Can we what, did you say?
Can you send him a text?
Send him a text.
I can call him.
Okay.
Should I call him?
Right. Why don't you call him?
And, all right.
You know, I want to say that Lauren has some very sophisticated equipment. And, you know, occasionally he's come up with some kind of healing potion that he is charged with frequencies. And I know one person who comes into the calls. In fact, I think Lauren invited her, had kind of a miracle. Let me see. Is Phyllis on the line?
Hi.
Oh, there you go. You're back. Good.
Yeah, sorry about that.
What happened?
I had some troubles with my phone, and when somebody calls in, it drops out.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was going to say that when I was young, I was learning about resonance. I was learning about it because I remember, and I was probably 8 years old, that I looked at a radio, this super heterodyne radio. It had tubes in it, and sound would come out. And I said, I want to know how that works. How can that possibly work? This little box and sound comes out. And I started reading books about it, and I kind of absorbed it very quickly. And there was the word resonance was used in terms of, in electricity, in electronics, a capacitor and a coil. And if you put a capacitor and a coil together, and they had the right dimensions and the right amount of winds on it, it would have a resonant frequency. And the tuning dial on the radio was actually a capacitor that when you turned the dial, the capacitor would be two plates of metal or multiple plates of metal, not touching. And that somehow the capacitor and the coil would create a frequency, a certain frequency. And when there was a radio wave in the air and the capacitor and the coil matched the frequency of that radio wave, you would be able to hear that radio station coming out of the speaker, okay? And they used to call that the resonant frequency of the capacitor and the coil. And it was variable so that you could tune in to different radio stations. Now, when you talk about resonance, how does it connect with that? I assume it must.
Yeah, resonance is anything that exhibits a phenomenon that exhibits period and or oscillation and tends to persist. Okay, so like if you have a bell and it rings, okay, that ringing will persist, and it's an oscillation that takes place there. Whereas a drum beat, boom, 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 has a certain period to it, you know, an interval to it. And if that persists, that is also resonance. However, resonance as it's in that definition, it's the application to electronics, for instance, is usually a voltage, a change in voltage, an oscillation, like what's called a sine wave. You know, if you're looking at it in an oscilloscope, and so a voltage voltage change in voltage that's oscillating over time. Okay? And if it continues to go that way, then that, you can say, is resonance. Otherwise, it's going to die right out. And now, there's also perpendicular to that waveform, you know, it is a another waveform. It's also oscillating, it's not in the same not in the same phase as that, which is magnetic field, and it's oscillating. So, when you imagine like a bubble, and there's a membrane there. And there's an inside to it and an outside to it. And the inside may be gas and like air, and the outside may be air. And you've got this bubble, and this bubble can rotate, can spin. And the rate of spin of that bubble would be a resonance. It's the rate of spin of that bubble. And it's, and if you looked at that graphically, turn it on its side, you know, so laid it out over time, going, you know, from left to right, for instance, it would form this sine wave, or not an oscillating wave. Okay, that would be just one. But it's also this bubble. Imagine this bubble is expanding out to points approximating infinity and collapsing down to points approximating zero. Along its axis, the axis would be the electrical axis, and this, and the rotation thing would be magnetic axis. But it's all rotating, and the and it's forming this and as it's self-contained, it's kind of forming kind of like a vortex that's self-contained, if you will.
Well, you know, the Elohim,
that's what's going on.
The Elohim has said the entire universe is based on spinningness, and that we have the planets spin, and they also
vibrate,
rotate around the sun, and the atom spins, and the galaxies move, and all of these frequencies are interrelating with each other and creating new frequencies, which are called harmonics. And does that relate to what you're talking about?
It certainly does. And it does it in, it was a very simplification with this bubble illustration. Because it's actually a bubble within the bubble within the bubble, and each are rotating at different rates.
And now, let me just say, when you say bubble, are you talking about a water bubble? A water bubble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a soap bubble.
A soap bubble. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
As it, you know, for as it, for illustration purposes.
And, you know, I know that all of us are frequency generators. We each, in our, in some aspect of our energies that are spinning, and like our chakra systems are all spinning, each one of them, and they all have different frequencies and
different center frequencies.
What frequencies?
Different center frequencies, and they have lower order harmonics plus upper order harmonics too.
Right, right. And when we come in contact with someone else, we have an immediate interface of all of these frequencies, either collaborating and working together, in which case you get a good vibe with somebody, or not doing that, and you either feel no vibe or even a negative vibe. And
And when I studied astrology, I was fascinated about how astrology could work. And, you know, in the past few years, I began to grasp it on an intuitive level about the spinningness, because DNA, you know, kind of records frequencies. It's like a frequency recorder of everything that comes into it. So when you're born, your DNA takes a snapshot of all those frequencies, internalizes it, and part of that is the astrology frequencies that are coming in from the planets and the universe. Essentially, the DNA is like a snapshot of the universe, and most of us can't access that. But as our DNA becomes activated, then we start to be able to access greater holograms in the universe. Does that make sense to you?
To me, it does. Like we're, as beings, separate from our bodies, as beings, we're energy creators, energy generators, and as for like an astral body or a etheric body, that is energy in a certain formation. And so when and in our bodies we have physical DNA that is like a bunch of tuning forks, if you will, aimed at different directions, and it picks up you know, holographically, what's being exposed to. And so that hologram is very extensive. I mean, it goes way out, and the so it's responding to that in terms of. And there's a term in an audio in a recording. It's called sound staging. You know, you have if you're listening live music, you have a band or an orchestra, and you're in the audience. You can tell where each of the instruments are coming from, and what sounds that they're individually making, and collectively together, they're in harmony with each other, and so. The DNA does the same thing. It can tell, it can differentiate where a particular oscillation or vibration is coming from, its position, how far away it is, and what effect it's generating at that point on the DNA. And it comes through as colors. It comes through as the frequencies and along with the harmonics, vibrations, mechanical vibrations on a very subtle level, and it then responds to that, and those different forms of energies and light, light and vibration, mechanical vibration, electrical waveforms, magnetic waveforms. Spatial waveforms, etc. It's quite amazing. It's quite an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. You know what? We have about 4 minutes left. And Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry.
I'm here, yes.
You know, we have a few minutes. Do you have anything you want to say, Lauren?
Well, hey, it's really great to have you on the calls. And the Elohim, like, when I'm channeling it, they spot you and you go, oh, Lauren's getting it. Lauren likes it. It's really neat.
Yeah, it's a dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yes.
Now, did you ever connect with the Elohim before you came onto our call? I have a feeling you did.
I did. Yeah, at some level. I have other areas in addition to Mother and Great Mother also. And other beings around, you know, primary beings, secondary beings, tertiary beings, etc. Although it wasn't kind of like formalized until I got on these calls.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Kind of like buddies, you know.
We have 6:52. We have 3 minutes. You know, we have only scraped the surface here of the kinds of things we can talk to Lauren about. He is so knowledgeable about so much, and he's so intuitive about things that I'm sure he'll be back again. And what I want to do, let's see if Hise is on the line. Let's see. Here we go. Wait a second. I got the console, I think.
I'm here.
No? Can you unmute everybody? And if we unmute you, try to keep your background noise.
Unmuted.
Does anybody want to ask Lauren a question?
Nobody else does. I will.
Well, why does that not surprise me? Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, you mentioned that it was 2009 or something. There was a new Mother Earth. Are there now two Mother Earths? And what's the different functions?
The other one got kind of overwhelmed with everything that was going on. Okay. And the and it was really experiencing some traumas, et cetera. Okay. And so this other being, primary being, which is like there's not too many around, I came in since I already had familiarity with this planet, you know, as a kind of what you might call superhuman, if you will.
A walk in.
Well, not exactly, no. She has been here for several hundred thousand years, and had a body that would live about 40,000 years to 50,000 years. Very knowledgeable, and one hell of a lot of heart. And she took off, and when things got kind of interesting, if you will, you know, when we're going through these transitions and stuff, yeah, she volunteered to come back in and replaced the previous Mother Earth. And so we've got somebody that's really has some real horsepower going on here. And that at any rate, we've got some real good assets on our side here.
And, glad to hear it.
Lauren, I want to ask you. It's like the Earth has a new spirit occupying it, a new soul, correct? Do you know, in the Mormon religion, they tell people, someday you're going to have your own planet. and talking, you know, like a human could actually end up being a planetary soul.
Yes.
Do you have any idea?
That's entirely possible, yeah.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the Mormons have that correct, huh, when they say that.
Yeah. Whether that comes to fruition or not, I couldn't tell you.
Uh-huh. We'd have to ask the Elohim if that ever happens. But, you know, since the universe
it does and it has happened.
they would think that it must happen because over billions of years, you know, beings evolved and they go to take on higher responsibilities, I would imagine. You know what? It's 6:57. And would you guys like to have Lauren on again?
Yes,
definitely.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Yes. All
right.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Lauren, there's
not enough yeses. When Lauren gets excited, I get excited.
Pardon me?
When Lauren gets excited, I get excited.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of
he has an amazing energy. An infectious... Yeah. Shouldn't use the word infectious right now, okay?
My real personality.
Yeah. Lauren virus. How about the Lauren virus?
Well, actually, there are actually constructive viruses out there.
Yeah.
Well, we got to go. We got to go to Whole Planet Healing. We got 2 minutes.
Bye.
Thank you, BBS.
Thank you.
If you happen to be on the call and you want to join us for Whole Planet Healing, Lauren's going to be on as well. And the phone number is 712-770-4340. 712-770-4340. And the PIN is, I hope you're writing this down, 250-513.
You can also find it at wholeplanethealing.com.